Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering into Motherhood. We're a community of women with children who feel that motherhood and career ambition should be easier than they currently are. Careering into Motherhood is about connection, community, and coaching. And this podcast is just one of the things we offer our community. Our largest community is over on Facebook, where we have nearly 12,000 members who every day connect with each other, share ideas, challenges they're facing, and support one another. Our community is underpinned by a cohort of around 40 professional coaches who share expert advice and help our members with anything from relationship challenges, Zen parenting, launching a business, addictive behaviours to career change, pretty much anything that you might face as a working mother. If you head over to our website, you'll find the UK's largest library of online resources. And if you think it might be time to work with a coach, we can help you find your perfect match. Just head over to our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. So now you know more about us, let's get into today's interview.
Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I'm Rebecca Newenham, and today I'm joined by my guest, Emily Bowell, career and confidence coach. And we're going to hear her five tips for shining in your next interview. So a really juicy topic. Lovely to have you with me, Emily.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Oh, and I know you're going to share your five tips for shining in your next interview. But before we start, I always like to ask my guests what their superpower is. I know it can sometimes sound a bit woo-woo, but tell me what yours is.
It's an interesting one. My husband, I struggled with this, and I had to ask my husband, and he was like, Emily, you are so organised. We can't function without you and your superpower of being organised. So that's one, and I would agree with that. But actually, I think it is kind of related to my work. It's that ability to help people believe in themselves. I just find it easy, and it definitely superpower zone of genius. It feels like it's just something that, you know, I can do, and I'm so pleased that I can now do it in my work. So yeah, two there.
Love it. Love two. That's not greedy at all. Brilliant. Lovely. So we're going to talk about how interviews are a huge part of obviously building a successful career. And the part I'm interested in is obviously interviews can be both for internal or external roles, can't they? And they can still produce worry for people wherever they're happening. And what I love about what you offer is that amazing interview coaching to make sure that we get the best out of that interview, because we all know how stressful they are. So I know you're going to sort of weave in your five top tips, but should we start with how people can best prepare for an interview?
Sure. Honestly, I work with people at all stages in their career, and they just find it so hard to sell themselves, whether they're a first job junior or really senior directors. And actually, even when they've got a sparkling career, loads of experience, it's stressful, it's cringeworthy, and especially British people are far too modest. So obviously it's natural. Interviews, whether it's internal or external, they are artificial. It's like a test. It feels like a test. It's a bit personal. It's like, are you going to accept me or reject me? And then there's that fear of the unknown. What if they ask me a question that I don't understand? And actually, there's a sense of judgment. So it's okay to feel like that. However, there are loads of things you can do. And actually, preparation is key. And I would say, actually, some of the key things you can do are, you know, congratulations, you've got an interview. So that's firstly, pat yourself on the back. But actually, if there's any part of the interview process or the role that you have any questions about, then I would really encourage anyone to then connect with the recruiting manager and ask those questions. You will regret it, and there's nothing to lose by doing it. And what you actually are also doing is you're showing how you work, which is, this isn't quite clear to me. Can I just double check that this is what you're looking for? It means that you're kind of already starting to show, not tell them about how you work. And actually, you're starting to connect your written application with your voice and your personality. And actually, maybe, you know, that might just, your name might just stick in their mind, and then the interview comes along and they're like, oh, I've already spoken to her. She seems really nice. Okay. So actually, by connecting with the recruiting manager, and actually you might want to, if you feel confident, connect on LinkedIn. Okay. So it's a great connect. LinkedIn is a great place to go searching up and finding people. You will have more than likely received the interview notification from someone in HR or something like that. But actually, there might be a list of the people, and one of them might be the person who would be your line manager. Connecting with them on LinkedIn and sending them a note just saying, really looking forward to meeting you next week at my interview. Again, you're showing them how you work. You're showing them the kind of person that you are. And you know what? They might have two great candidates at the end of the day, and you just went above and beyond and did something slightly more that might get you the upper hand. So, you know, think about it as like you've got nothing to lose and possibly quite a lot to gain. Okay.
So, yeah, no, I love that. And it's that building a connection before you've even met, isn't it? So that's powerful.
Completely. Completely. You have to remember, interviews are human. Like, obviously, there's a lot of AI out there at the moment, and there are robots, but actually, generally still, the majority of interviewing is human to human. So let's remember that humans just want to connect with humans. We connect on the human level. So obviously, interviews, nerve-wracking, but focusing on what's in your control, okay? If you focus on what's in your control rather than what's out of your control, then you will automatically start to feel a bit more comfortable. So your preparation, the research you do on the people, on the organization, on their, you know, what's going on and the latest news and the results in that kind of organization, the sleep that you get in the lead up to your interview. I mean, you know, we all need sleep, and obviously things like that, they're in your control. And I'm a big fan of obviously a first impression and the clothes that you wear. So the preparation, the research, the sleep, the clothes, they're all in your control. So keep your focus there rather than panicking about the question that may or may not be asked. That can be all kind of included in your preparation.
Yeah, no, love. Yeah, I love that feeling of actually also what are you doing in the days that lead up to it, being calm and not having distractions, obviously, when you're actually on the interview either.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just even organising your space, getting the space ready, being there 15 minutes, not just 2 minutes with kind of, you know, with a call straight before. Like, it's really important that you arrive, whether it's a virtual space or whether it's an in-person space, okay? And I think we'll come on to kind of the interview questions in a minute, but I think another thing to think about in preparing for interview is to really think about what you want the interviewers to say about you after you've left the room. So if you imagine an interview panel, they've arrived, there they are, you arrive, they like you on paper, you do a great interview, you're chatting away, you ask your questions at the end, and then you leave. I have been on enough interview panels, and I'm sure listeners have also been on interview panels. What happens then, as soon as that door is shut, whether it's a virtual door or a real door, they will turn to each other and they will just say a few things. You know, they've scribbled down lots of notes. They've probably got lots of protocols they need to follow in order to do a fair interview. But what do you want those 2, 3, 4 people to say about you in that immediate moment when you've left? And when you think about what those things are, maybe it's confident, maybe it's knowledgeable, maybe it's a team player, maybe it's, I don't know. That's for you to think about. What do you want them to know about, to know about you and to say about you? And then every single thing that you do in your preparation and in the interview needs to lead to them saying that. So it almost takes you out of the picture and puts yourself in their shoes. And it's in a way, it kind of, it's good. It disjoints you from it. And it kind of goes, yeah, what do I want them to say about me? What impression do I want to make? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love that, because actually that's then a focus, isn't it? And a common thread then through your preparation, how you're looking, how you're feeling. And yeah, no, that's really nice. Yeah, perfect. So what about answering interview questions then, Emily? How would you suggest people go and sort of structure? Obviously, I know when you're working with somebody, that's part of what you're offering, isn't it?
Exactly. A huge part of what I do, which is different to, you know, running things and, you know, things past your partner or sister or mom or whatever it might be, is I am able to give that impartial view. I challenge my clients quite a lot, obviously as much as they want to be challenged, but actually a lot of what we do is role play. Time and time again, people come to me going, I absolutely screwed up my last interview and my confidence is at an all-time low. I just fluster, I forget, I can't get the answers out. The feedback I've been given is that I waffle on. So actually, a huge part of what I do is practicing out loud. And we might answer the same question 3 or 4 times. And we prepare on paper, but the reality of an interview, unless it's a written test, which is often part of an interview, but the reality is you're speaking and it's articulating what you've written down, because it comes out very differently to how you've written it. And you need to be able to use that skill. And we don't do it very often, right? Unless you're moving jobs regularly. So actually practicing out loud is one of the key things I do. And it's a really well-known acronym, but actually you take a job description and then you scrutinize it and you consider all the themes of the questions that are going to potentially be asked. And then you start to prepare what is widely known as STAR responses, which are basically a situation, it's an acronym, so situation, task, action, brackets, I took, very important that it's the action that you took, and result. Now I've added I and L to the end of that for my own purpose, which is impact and learning, because I just don't think STAR quite kind of ties things up enough. And the more senior you get, the more reflective you need to get, which is worth. And yeah, you basically would apply once you've got the job description and you know that you're going to get questions about maybe leadership and communication, and they will have outlined all the skills they're looking for. And then you will be writing these STAR-ill stories for each and every single one of those, but so that to the point where you know that when the leadership question comes up, yes, I'm going to use that STAR-ill story. And what I also suggest is that you don't just have one story, you might have two, because what we really, really need to avoid is repeating the same project, the same story time again. What will happen is that that will mark you down. And it's quite frustrating for an employer, a recruiter, if someone just keeps coming back to the same project. So it's really important that you maybe have your A and your B stories for each of the competencies. And then basically you will go through and practice them out loud. As I say, that's what I do time and again with my clients. And it's not just about, if the example of an interview question was, you know, tell us about a time when you have delivered exceptional customer service, for example. You don't just launch straight into, when I was in this, my last role, this is what I did, and you go through your STAR-ill story. What I teach people is a sandwich whereby you have an introduction where you might address why is customer service so important in a role like this, or, you know, your thoughts on that particular area. Then you go into your example, which is great. So that's your evidence. And then you must conclude it. Time and again, people stop at the end of their STAR story and there's a bit of tumbleweed goes through the room. What you need to do is to then bring it back to the role in hand. So you basically then say, you know what? So in this role, this is how I would apply those skills that I've already got. I've been thinking about what I would do in this job, having read the job description, and I would love to work on X, Y, and Z. And what you're doing is you're just starting to show your hand. You're starting to show how you would be in this role.
Love it. Yeah. So actually it's giving the interviewer then a confidence, isn't it, that you're taking this seriously, you've really thought about it. And like you said earlier, that'll stand you in really good stead when they're perhaps comparing you with another candidate that perhaps hasn't been quite so, spent so much time and given that personalised detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the final thing there is to really, really listen to the question that is being asked and not the question that you want to answer or the question that you think. Please don't be afraid to ask them to repeat the question or to help you understand the question. Otherwise, you will simply be marked down because you didn't answer the question. So if there's any doubt in your mind, and I certainly always say, to clients that, you know, especially when they're using this kind of star format, and if you're a little bit worried about whether, you know, have I answered the question, hopefully you feel like you have, but actually, or maybe the example you gave wasn't maybe quite what they were looking for, is don't be afraid to kind of throw the question back to them. One of my top tips is that trying to make interviews a two-way conversation, it certainly makes them way more interesting and way more enjoyable. And so at the end of, maybe you've answered a question and you've done your star reel, don't be afraid to say, I hope that answered your question. I do have another example if you'd like. And what that does is it chucks it back to them. And again, it just stops it being that they're asking the questions, you're answering the questions. And what you're trying to do is start to establish whether you can actually work together.
Lovely. And I think it's not you not broadcasting then, isn't it? And it's that energy that comes from sort of two-way. Oh, no, that's really powerful. No, brilliant. And then in terms of helping people feel more confident, you've touched on a number of ways of doing that. I mean, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh, well, there's so many things. It's like a kind of multi-top tip. Like I said, five. I mean, there are 55. I could definitely probably write a list. One of my big things, it was really interesting, when I was training to be a coach, I remember being totally terrified of assessments. And I think that stemmed from exams and exams at school, exams at university, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the things I always say about interviews is like, rename it, give it another name, like stop calling it an interview in your own mind, right? Is this your opportunity to shine? Is this just a conversation on one of my favorite subjects? And actually, when you stop calling it an interview and actually rename it, that totally in your head starts to change how you feel about it. So that's one thing. I always say to try and bring some humor in, right? So if you can smile and laugh and make a connection with your interviewers, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to relax. And actually, if there's, it totally depends on your personality, but don't be afraid. And the least you could do is a smile, like a really genuine smile. But yeah, if you can make that connection, you really will start to relax and hopefully, again, enjoy it. I also say make some conversation before you get into the room. Easier said than done in a virtual interview, but if it was an in-person interview, like making a bit of conversation with the person at reception, they are sometimes consulted as to how people arrive. And don't think that the only important people in the room are the people who are in the interview room, okay? So actually, but when you make a bit of conversation, whether that be with the security guard or with the person giving you a pass or the person walking you up to the room, who is often maybe not one of the interviewers, what you're doing is you're starting to use your voice. And so the first time you speak isn't, you know, welcome to this interview, can you answer some questions for us? So actually you're warming up your vocal cords. So that's another one. Visualization, really important. I have a visualization kind of, it's just a guided visualization on my website, which actually is where you basically imagine the interview going exactly how you want it to go. So you basically shut your eyes and imagine it just going perfectly. You imagine walking into the room, you imagine, and trust me, deja vu really does happen. And people come back to me and go, it actually happened. They actually asked me that question. And it's, but you've already lived it, right? So you're trying to see a perfect interview. And if you can see a perfect interview, an interview going well and you relaxing and answering the questions well, then you're more likely to then actually do it on the day. And I think the final thing is your outfit. I know clothes are so frivolous and people think about clothes as being kind of, oh, you know, fashion, whatever. But actually it makes a real impact if you're wearing something that you feel fabulous in. We can't see each other today, but I'm wearing my favourite red dress because actually, and if I was doing an interview tomorrow, I'd wear it. And it's because it has power. It has confidence. I arrive in the room and I always say to people, think about, you know, that first impression before you've opened your mouth. What do your clothes say about you? And actually, don't leave it to the last minute. Really think about it, get it all ready, and that will really help again with that confidence. And colour, I think, I mean, I'm a colour analyst as well, but actually red is confidence, blue is of, you know, the world's favorite color, and people trust blue. Green is very grounding, so you can do a little bit of research into color psychology and see if you can make it work for you. It really, it is powerful, and obviously if you know your colors, then you wear your very best colors.
No, perfect. And don't wear a brand new pair of shoes that you've never worn before if you're going somewhere, which I think I'm sure I've done in the past. But no, that's really important, and I know how much what I'm wearing makes me feel, how it makes me feel. So it's all that positivity, isn't it? And feeling comfortable, and yeah, just setting yourself up for success from the beginning. No. Oh, Emily, I could chat to you all day. It's amazing. And I can really, really see how you are the perfect cheerleader for somebody. And just a real quickie, for people working with you, is it a one session? How does that work? Are there other ways of, imagining it's bespoke, isn't it?
Generally, yeah, with interviews, it is. I generally have a 2-hour minimum because there's quite a lot of work to do, and it's good to see someone kind of for the second hour. So if someone was specifically working with me for interview, it would be that we would meet a couple of times, maybe meet for 20 minutes to get them prepped. They go away and do some work. We come back together. We might do a couple of sessions, one in the lead up and maybe one the day before the little pep talk. But yeah, the minimum is that kind of 2-hour engagement with me. And that normally is plenty to get them kind of in a really good place for their interview. But often, people often work with me on their CVs and applications. So, you know, that's all, you know, we work from there as well. So sometimes it's the whole package.
And I imagine you love getting a debrief afterwards, don't you?
Oh, I love it. Honestly, it's like, I'm like their mum. I'm like, send me a text, let me know how it goes. And then sometimes they don't tell me. And I'm like, I got the job.
Thanks for that. Yeah. Oh no, it's like having baby birds out coming out of your nest, isn't it? And it's sort of that whole, but it must be so empowering for both your clients and for you. So I wish I'd known about you years ago. So thanks Emily so much. I know we're going to share links both to your website, and you're very active on your socials as well, so yeah, very easy to get hold of you. So thanks so much for your time. I've loved it.
Thank you for having me.
I've loved talking to Emily, and I think you'll all agree there are so many tips in there, many more than 5. What I really took from what Emily said today was the power in role play. So really practicing and preparation for your interview is absolutely crucial. And I hadn't registered the value in actually speaking things out loud rather than writing them down. And Emily has touched upon her addition to the STAR response, which I think is really, really powerful. So adding impact and learning to that. And I guess another major part for me was thinking, you know, what will that interview panel say about me when I leave that room? So there we are. A wonderful session, and do connect with Emily if you'd like to know more.